what up, man? I hate the homies. Back at you one more again. I am the homie Rock Teezy for Sheezy.
It's the sports homie Griff live in Kansas City wanting this Arrowhead smoke, and I hate the homies.
And this is your boy Super Dave. You're going to take a L in Kansas City. But guess what?
We don't care.
We don't care.
I'm going to tell you what we do care about, man. The things that we're going to be talking about this week, man. So we got the Draymond Green situation apologizing to Jordan Poole and his family. We also going to talk about the swag. Who ain't swag if I ain't swag? We got Eddie Robinson Jr., Alabama State quarterback, versus Deion Primetime Sanders, Jackson State head coach. I said quarterback, but head coaches, they got some beef going back and forth. So we're going to discuss that. We got the it was a pretty bad week for marriages.
I mean, I think I'm still married. I think I'm still happy, but we can talk about everybody else.
Nothing wrong with mine over here.
We good.
We're still newlyweds.
We good. So we're going to give you our homie perspective on that. Then, of course, we got to recap football, man. NFL and college matchups of the week, man. So stay tuned. And we got the yay homie, nay homie. And, of course, we got a guest this week, Rashawn Ali, the homie's homie, Griff.
Yeah, I'm excited about this young lady, man. She knows football like us. She loves sports. And she went to a historically black college and university. So it's going to be fun talking to her today.
Let's get it popping. Ray Duggar!
You done messed up, A-A-Ron!
Yeah, huh? I've been geeking for this broadcast. Got me in my bag because all they do is talk a lot of trash. Wait until I see them face to face off of this podcast. What you got to say now? Check the facts. Don't have a wrong stat. Rock T, he a genius as a sport. Make Ricky smile, boy. Super Davey Holly come up short on like it's Cowboys. Always controversial. Griff call out plays. No rehearsal. Got me talking all in circles. Ah, I hate the homies. And Griff be laughing like it's funny. But they never bet no money. They my mans, but they throw me. Ah, I hate the homies.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go ahead and get this Draymond Green situation going, man. I know Super Dave been wanting, he's been hungry to discuss this situation. So if you don't know, you've been up under a rock. Last week, Draymond Green, video surfaced of him and teammate Jordan Poole getting into an altercation. Now, there was no audio to this. All we saw was Draymond Green walking up to Jordan Poole, got in his face. Of course, when you get in somebody's face, you're going to do pretty much what Jordan Poole did. He pushed Draymond back like, yo, get out my face, bro. Draymond said, what? He leaned in and hit him with a right hook and put him to the ground. And it was a real, he touched him pretty good.
Let me tell you
good.
Something. First of all, it looked very bully-like because Draymond's just a little bit taller than Jordan Poole. Both of them well over 6'3", but
he towers over him, man, still.
Yeah, little homie from Michigan is a point guard. But it looked like Draymond was key-key-keying on the side until it wasn't funny no more. But I didn't like the way he floated back over to him like, what? 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 And then that's when Poole said, man, go on, Draymond, pushed him, and Draymond stole him. Now, all I'm saying, and we all know Draymond is the firecracker and woo, 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 but partner, you cannot hit that wasn't kind of a hit. I'm sure if they show a picture of Poole right now,
yes,
he got a shiner. Yeah. You understand me? He got
his whole cheek swole.
He got a black eye, dog.
His cheek swole.
He got popped in the mouth, dog.
Why are you laughing, dog?
Because it's funny and it ain't funny, but everybody be yipping and yapping until you get punched in the mouth.
Hey, dog. They always say, man, if you want to hush a bully up, pop him in the mouth one time.
My whole problem
And here go the cold part, Dave, and then I want to hear your perspective on it. You done hit me in the mouth, and the whole world know pretty much right, even worse than the Will Smith Chris Rock slap, because that was a slap. You done stole me in the mouth. In about a week and a half, they gonna get their rings and the flag, the rafters, the thing raised in the rafters. Everybody's family gonna be there. It's really not cool yet. Poole got family members and cousins, and Draymond got family members. But even in the interview, Draymond said, I know how my mama would feel if somebody hit me like that, and she would still be mad. Super Dave?
I think the whole problem is, and I'm a big Draymond Green fan. I told you guys that during the championship run last season that he's fiery. He doesn't put up the points he did a few years ago, but he's that heartbeat of that basketball team. But the problem I have with all this, we all saw the video, and the video makes everything look ugly because when we first heard about this, it was no video. It was almost like the Ray Rice
right,
thing.
And we was just like, we heard Draymond pass the ball in the mouth.
And then when you see the video, it changes everything. But my whole problem with this is when you look at the Golden State Warriors, I'm talking about management. I'm talking about guys, the president, everybody, the guys that have to do with this organization, let him get away with this. Not just that day. But I'm pretty sure this hadn't happened just one time. This is the one time we caught it. He's always been a fiery person. He always challenges teammates. But and the one thing I have a problem with is nobody came to Poole's defense. Everybody's looking around.
Everybody's like, ooh.
Nobody wants to test Draymond Green. That's the problem I have with it. Somebody has
what
to sit
been
his
done
ass down.
Is somebody grown. Steph Curry, Andre. One of them grown people should have been like, stall him out, Draymond. It's all good. Stall him out.
It's all right to have the fiery attitude, but with your own teammates and pushing them to the limit. Again, we don't know what was said. I don't know what Poole said because we don't have any audio of that. We just see the punch. We see the push, and the punch.
Whatever was said, it wasn't enough for my teammate. My teammate of 82
that you won
games.
A championship with just a season
yes.
ago.
To hit me in the mouth. So I believe, and it'll come out more because it's going to have to come out because Poole hasn't said anything yet. I'm waiting to hear what Poole said.
Can he talk? But, does he have a...
Man, let me say this, man.
Man. He's talking like Kanye through the Wire video.
For real.
Y'all gonna excuse me. It got my whole teeth. He threw the Wire video with his.
First of all, let me say this, man. I want to know who leaked the damn video, first of all. That's already a problem. That's internal situation.
Well, you know who it was because if anybody, it's the interns that's videotaping this thing, and they sold it to TMZ to make a quick buck. But the bottom line is, once they find out, because they said they're going to investigate the whole situation, but once they find out, whoever it was, you probably got $120,000 for that.
You finna lose your job.
But you finna lose your job.
You're never going to work in the NBA.
Exactly. Okay, why would you do that? Why would you waste that?
But
it's only $120,000 if that was it.
Well, let me finish my thought, man, because, you know.
Go ahead. Draymond, I want y'all to hear this Draymond
apology.
Interview.
Yeah, I was just about to say, he did apologize, and he said he admitted he was wrong. But listen, let's call it like it is. Confrontation happens in the locker room.
Everywhere.
All the time with teams.
Yeah. Of sports.
Yes. This happens all the time. Fights.
That's not wrong.
Arguments.
It happens on shows.
Happens all the time.
Like this one.
Y'all was fighting last episode. Yeah,
absolutely, man. This is part of it. Now, does it come to these kind of punches all the time? Not necessarily, but does it happen sometimes? Yes, it does. Because of social media, because of TMZ, because of everything that's happening nowadays, like you just said, everybody want to check to say, hey, look what I seen. Look what just happened. Everybody want to, man, that was wrong. Whoever leaked this dog on video, it was wrong for what they did.
That's privacy.
But as far as this story that we talking about, that doesn't surprise me. That kind of stuff happens in the locker room all the time with teams.
Of course.
Period.
Yeah.
And it's not going to stop.
They never talk about that. It's NFL
Absolutely.
Players.
Didn't Michael Jordan hit Steve Kerr?
Oh, my man.
Back in the day?
Come on, man.
And Steve Kerr?
Terrell Owens got into it with your boy when he was with Philly.
Oh, with Philadelphia.
I mean, it happens.
Always.
It happens, man. Look at preseason in football. Like, when you go to those spring training camps, they get into fights like almost every series in training camp football.
But I understand that. But again, he has to calm his ass down. I'm talking about Draymond Green.
You have to absolutely
use channel that energy, man. Use it on somebody else, like LeBron James, the same person that got kicked out.
What Poole could have been saying is, Draymond, you wasn't even that sweet in the playoffs. He could have said that. You got to understand, there's a young team and an older team that's on the Warriors right now. You got your old with your Steph and Draymond and Andre and all those guys. But it's a whole new you. They don't know Draymond Green like that. They don't care what he did at Michigan State. Them boys is champions.
But Draymond,
they've been in the league 2 years.
Draymond Green could care less about putting the ball in the bucket right now. His main goal is to get in the other team's head, is to just be just disruptive in the paint, be disruptive on defense.
That's what we pay you for.
Exactly.
But don't do it at the crib, Draymond. That's all we saying.
I mean, you can do it at the crib, but don't take a shot at your own teammate.
Like I said.
We can digress. Listen to Draymond's apology.
So, number one, I was wrong for my actions that took place on Wednesday. I was wrong for my actions that took place on Wednesday. And for that, I have apologized to my team. I have apologized to Jordan. And, I wanted to take that a step further. With the event yesterday, with the video leaking, there is a huge embarrassment that comes with that. Not only for myself as I was the one that committed the action, the embarrassment that comes for me is what it is, and that's something that I have to deal with. But the embarrassment that Jordan has to deal with, and that this team has to deal with, that this organization has to deal with, but also Jordan's family. His family saw that video. His mother, his father saw that video.
And be like a hood.
Quite frankly, if my mother saw that video,
his name is Draymond.
I know how my mother would feel. I know what her reaction would be, and I know what her next step would be. And so for that, I apologize to his mother and his father and, his family, his friends that care for him, because that is a sense of or a level of embarrassment that they have to deal with, too.
I believe he's being honest. When I think about Jordan Poole, you guys got to remember he's a young man. He's 23. He's 23 years old. That means he's somebody's little brother. And what you don't do is you steal somebody's little brother. You gonna have to deal with a big brother. So unless Jordan comes out publicly and saying, hey man, it's all good, we just got heated. But see, the problem was the video shows that it wasn't heated. The video shows that it wasn't Poole going back and forth with Draymond and Draymond saying it. Say the video showed Draymond being a whole bully to that dude for no reason.
Now here's the
deal.
For
a reason we don't know.
We don't know because we still don't know if Jordan Poole pushed Draymond's buttons to even get to that level. Now,
exactly,
you know what I'm saying? Because you can still talk noise and say some slick stuff as you mumbling under your breath. You ain't got to be just all hollering and screaming and getting in people's face. You can
he could have been, you ain't going to hit nobody,
right?
Draymond.
Your mama stank. You know what I'm saying? Your mama, he could be right. Any.
And who made the first move?
We don't know.
No. You look at the video.
Well,
Draymond sneakily went over there.
Yeah, he went over there.
Say it again.
But
Jordan,
got in his face.
Say it again.
But
Jordan.
Who made the push? It was Poole.
Now
let's start.
Yeah,
Poole said,
get out my face.
But he pushed him.
Okay, now look. At the beginning of the video, Draymond was, he was on the other, he was walk, he walking away on the other side. He was against the wall. Then he walked back up to Jordan. I don't know. We don't want to make nothing up and put words in people's mouth. But obviously, maybe something was mumbled or said to Draymond that would made him go up to him and get in his face. Because there was a point for it.
Rock, you the sports genius. How many times did you watch the video for reals?
I watched it about five or six times.
What about you, Dave?
About five or six times. That's why I keep saying Poole pushed
him. I also have to say about five or six, even in my best trying to figure out what they could have said. Like I'm saying, this is what I'm saying. Obviously, somebody pulled out their camera because it started to get heated, correct? That's
right.
Like the same thing that happens when people on planes and stuff. We don't catch it from them when they sitting down and getting, it's building up. You start recording when people come out their seatbelt and start, like that. So we don't know what happened to it, but as calm as Jordan is, it had to be, you sorry, Draymond. You ain't even, you washed up.
Ain't no excuse, man.
It's nothing to excuse this, period.
Right.
And I think the biggest part about all this is now Draymond says he wants to step away from the team and take some time off.
Which he should.
Okay, but where do they do that at? Even in our jobs, we couldn't do that.
Come on. That's a good point.
I mean,
that's
you say, Dave.
If I hit
now you,
you
want to go
me.
On vacation after you beat up
I mean, get some time off to what? Practice his jump shot?
That's
come on.
He just he ain't going to participate with the team. With the team, so he's gonna be just kind of doing his own thing.
I think that's the biggest question. What is he gonna do? You step away from the team, but also, is there a trust factor now with those guys? I'm not talking between
and
staff.
Now the team is like, yeah. So I'm with you, Dave, on that. So now you got the whole team going. We playing in better harmony without Draymond.
Yeah, and plus they got Wiseman.
You can't
they,
have
they
that.
They got the big seven-footer now that didn't play at all last season.
Well, that's a whole nother ball
game.
They got
a squad. They still got a squad,
Wiseman is a dog.
And now the biggest question is, because when you look at Poole's about to get paid from the Warriors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big
and Draymond
money.
Green.
Big money. Rookie,
now,
freshman,
Rock,
freshman coming in and getting a championship.
Rock Griff, you're the president of the Warriors. After what you – I mean, we know this goes on all the time about fights and stuff with teammates. But at the end of the day, do you give Draymond Green that max contract now that he's looking for? Or do you,
you
or
know,
do you say bye-bye?
I tell Draymond, you, sir, were one of the best players to ever don the jersey. You were one of the best. Deuces.
I'm going to look.
Draymond,
remember that Celtics series
that
because he was the heartbeat.
Charlotte.
Let me tell you something, bro. I'm keeping Draymond.
I am too.
And,
I gotta say.
And
it.
One thing about Draymond Green, this is something that we all, you know, hopefully agree with. One thing about Draymond, he's done a lot of things that would make you kind of say, "Really, dude? Really?"
Yeah.
But he's also apologized when he went too far with a lot of things. He even apologized with the whole Kevin Durant situation.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant came back and said, man, that was the biggest mistake I made by leaving. And Draymond said, you know what? I did my part to force you out anyways. My point
but
is
he was
this.
Right about Kevin Durant.
I'm keeping Draymond.
Yeah.
I'm keeping.
Okay.
He the glue to this dog on team.
I'm keeping him. He was right about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was a B. He acting like a B during that season.
So y'all saying y'all like a bully. Keep a bully.
You gotta
if
have
you
a bully
don't care
on the
about
team.
Your little freshman,
Jordan, didn't Michael Jordan have that same kind of person with Dennis Rodman
come
on his
yeah.
championship
you gotta
team?
Gotta have yeah. that kind of player on your squad.
And he's that nasty kind of player.
Yeah.
I just don't want you to do that and abuse my teammates.
Sometimes,
the other guys.
Look, let me say this, and we can move on and talk about the swag. Listen, I'm not gonna sit up here and promote beating up on each other, beating up on your teammates, and fighting
black
each other.
Black on black, nothing.
I'm not gonna promote that. But sometimes a joker need to get checked. Sometimes a joker need to get checked.
Boy.
Yeah, come
a little
on.
Boy.
Sometimes
a
your
boy.
Own teammate, once somebody got to get checked, like, come on, man, step your game
why
up.
Why y'all looking at me? Why y'all looking at me when y'all say that?
Sometimes, little Dan, you got to get checked, dog.
Check me, then. I'm going to show you. I'm not Pool.
Shoot.
First of all, none
back.
Of us going to check each other. We just saying. In sports where it involves more than one person, so outside of tennis and golf and boxing and UFC and stuff like that, if you doing all that yipping and yapping, it's only one way to stop it. Either beat me or I'm going to bust you in the mouth. Now, if I bust you in the mouth and you don't fight back, then we have all understood what just happened. You've been Chris Rocked.
I think we just
and
wait.
Jordan Poole got Chris. Ooh, nobody want to get punched in the face like Jordan Poole did. Tell the truth. Like, he ain't defend himself, dog.
Yeah, but you know what? It was a nice punch.
Yeah, eat that.
But what Draymond did at the end to make sure he didn't get up, he put all his body weight on Jordan Poole, too.
Smart.
That's smart, man.
That was the bully part, dog. Anyway.
All right, so let's shift gears, talk about this SWAC situation, man. We got Alabama State head coach Eddie Robinson Jr., and he has some words for Deion Sanders, who's the head coach of Jackson State, if you guys don't know. And Jackson State won the football game. At the end of the game, they do what all coaches do. They walk, meet midfield, and shake each other's hands and say, good game. Now, Deion shook his hand and said, good game. You had the brothers ready to play. And he was leaning in to give him a bro hug. And this is when Eddie Robinson Jr. said, stiff arm. I'm going to give you my Derrick Henry stiff arm. And say, I'm cool at the handshake. Going somewhere. Yeah, that's pretty much what he was saying. Like, going somewhere. So, Eddie Robinson Jr., we're going to get ready to play this audio. He was upset. He felt like Deion Sanders has been disrespecting Alabama State the entire time. I'll leave it right there. And here's what he had to say.
Well, I guess me being up front is just like, I thought it was a lot of disrespect the whole week.
And so you're not going to be disrespectful the whole week in the media. We didn't talk in the pregame. I was out there the whole time at the 50-yard line. He walked through our whole huddle on our end zone and came the long way around to get to his side of the field in the pregame. Thought that wasn't classy at all. And so in the postgame, I'm not about to give you the Obama bro up. You know, I'm going to shake your hand, I'm going to go on. I'm going to always be respectful and respect the game. You know, you got the great guys, W.C. Gordons, Eddie G. Robinson, those guys, Marino Chasm. I'm living on the shoulders of the SWAT. He ain't SWAT. You know, I'm SWAT. He ain't SWAT. So he's in the conference doing a great job. Can't knock that. Got a great team. Son should be up for the Heisman Trophy winner. I love Shador. Great player. I love what he's doing for the conference. Probably one of the best things we had since that Steve McNair when he was in there. Love all that, but you're not gonna come here and disrespect me and my team and my school and then wanna bro hug me. Shake my hand and get the hell on. Period. You got the W, great job. I hope he comes back next year. I pray he don't get a Power 5 job so we can play them next year in Jackson, and I pray they put us for their damn home.
Coach, would you describe it, were you just trying to pull away from his handshake there?
Yeah, I was just pulling away. I mean, we handshaked and that was it. I mean, it ain't no need for no embrace. You know, me and friends, he ain't never called me, I ain't never called him. Great player. Shit, everybody wanted to goddamn be prime time as a little kid. All right, great player, all of that. Played against him, got tons of respect for the guy. Doing a great job as a coach, but you can't do all that stuff all week. And then you come back, put your backup quarterback in and want to run a hitch and go to try to put more points on the board. Shit's disrespectful. Game was out of line, it was 26-12, 40 seconds left. We had no timeouts. Take a damn knee. You want to try to run a hitch and go. So we started blitzing. We're going to knock him out the game too. So that's how we got to play. I mean, it ain't no quarters given. So you want to do that, don't come with me and try to bro hug me like we're friends. We ain't friends. You didn't shake my hand before the game. Why you shaking my hand after the game? Period. That's it.
One of the comments that kind of disturbed me out of all the comments that I'm not swag. Who is? I got time today. Who is swag? If I ain't swag, who is swag? If I ain't swag, who is swag? If I ain't swag, who is swag, baby? Who is?
It's funny listening to Dion. You know what he sounds like? He sounds like Michael Irvin, and they both sound like preachers, especially at the end.
I love it though, dog.
Who is swag?
I'll tell you something.
Swag. So, who is swag? Fine, swag. Put some music behind it.
Man, let me tell you something. He is swag because he's a coach in the swag. So how is he not swag?
So we had to bring on the homies. Homie is my special guest, man, Rashan Ali. I had the pleasure of being our co-host on the 18 Morning Show, Hot 107.9 Radio 1. She is the founder of the Cool Soar Roars, HBCUs, been cool, great friend. She know for her daddy is the winningest football coach in DeKalb County history in Atlanta. Rashan, welcome to I Hate the Homies.
I love it. I'm so happy to be here. How y'all doing?
What
How
up, doing? Rashan?
Rashan, who is swack if Dion ain't swack?
I just hated to see that type of exchange at the end of a game. You know what I mean? I ain't like it. You know, I don't like that type of stuff. I don't like confrontation. But, you know, I guess it's good for football, maybe. But I just don't like seeing two black men do that. But I understand what Eddie Robinson Jr. was talking about. He did sound a little bitter. He probably feels some type of way that, you know, prime time is getting all the prime time. But prime time has always been prime time since he was, you know, playing at Florida State. So this ain't nothing new for his life. But he just got to kind of grin and bear it.
We're shocked.
And keep it moving.
But see, all this stems from not just what happened at the end of the game.
Right.
Did you guys see the pregame where Dion does his same routine that he's been doing since in the NFL?
Yeah.
I want you to hear this audio from Dion Sanders first.
All right.
I don't know. It could be a plethora of things. I think he thought he was going to get a win. I don't know why he would have ever thought that. I did hear his interview where he said that I came out and ran around the field. All of the people that have been with me for years, even playing in the NFL, I always come out the locker room and run around the field. That's my tradition. That's what I do. That was nothing personal to invoke any riotous act against them. That's not who I am. That's not what I stand for. That's not what I'm about.
So that's the audio I was talking about. And to me, this word stems from, because if you look at the audio and you listen to what Dion is saying, he does the same routine where he walks around the field. Now, they showed this. I caught a video of this where he's walking through the Alabama State football team at their end zone.
Right.
And walking through them. You hear one of the players say, who is this old B.A.? Walking through our crowd like this, and he's talking about Deion Sanders. Right. He was looking cocky.
Right.
He was really looking cocky. That's
prime, though.
Okay, I understand that, but that is disrespectful, and that's what
it is disrespectful. Okay, why are we walking around it?
It is disrespectful.
Prime time out there, crip walking on these boys.
Let me tell y'all something, bro.
That's your boy.
Let me tell you something.
This is your boy.
Look, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. At the end of the day, what has Prime Time always done? He know how to sell tickets.
He's the show.
He know how to put on a show. And it ain't bragging if you back it up. So, if Deion Sanders was not the coach of Jackson State University, and this game happened this weekend, how many people you think would have been in that stadium?
10.
Listen,
no, more than that.
Deion Sanders know what he's doing. It's like a boxing match. These boxers know what they're doing when you're promoting a fight. You want people to get them pay-per-view tickets. Deion wants the stadiums packed. He's doing so much for the HBCU. If it wasn't for that, the stadiums would be half empty still.
But don't ask me for a bro hug at the end.
Now, look.
I'm not giving you that, man, because you did disrespect me. I know who you are. I know what you're about and what you're bringing to the HBCUs and to the SWAC. I have no problem with that. But just don't disrespect another black man, and that's the way Eddie Robinson Jr. sees it, and that's the way I would see it.
What if Eddie Robinson Jr. would have won? What if Alabama State would have won that game?
He still would have. I think he still would have said the same thing.
He probably would have just. I think he still would have just shaken his hand. Everybody, you ain't got to hug everybody.
Yeah, we don't.
Rashawn, you went to FAMU. You know. HBC, how different? You have something that said HBCU's been cool, because everybody right now in the last 2 years is saying, oh, HBCU's is on the map. Talk about that, Rashawn.
Well, I mean, you know, I come from a history of historically black colleges and universities. Both my parents went to Delaware State, so that's what they instilled in us.
Go Hornets! So, go Hornets!
Yes, right. This is something that's not new. And my life and most of the people that I'm around, because I've just been a part of the HBCU culture. It's great that through the things that happened in 2020 and people, you know, having more interest in HBCUs and what they've done in the past and how they've been such a gateway for so many black students. This has always been who we always were. I mean, we didn't have an opportunity to go to these different schools back then. You got to look at the history of black college football. When FAMU actually won, you know, a national championship, we talk about guys that didn't have an opportunity to go to the SEC or the ACC. All they had were black colleges. We can't forget that. And the great thing that Deion is doing, I'm sorry, Coach Prime is doing, he is showing a lot of black kids who had completely strayed away from even thinking about an HBCU that there's possibilities to have your eyes on you at an HBCU. I mean, you got to look at the Jerry Rices of the world, the Michael Strahans, Walter Paytons, all that. And those are old school guys. There's a lot of new school guys who went to HBCU. So we cannot forget about the pure talent that has always been at HBCU. So I'm glad that Deion is doing what he's doing and has his son playing who could play at any Power 5 school right now. But he is playing in Jackson, Mississippi, and he is bringing and he's showing. Deion has a team full of Power 5 players. Period. I mean, he's got I wouldn't say a team full, but he has a considerable amount of players that could have gone.
Handful. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
So we you know, as much as this is up for debate about was Coach Eddie Robinson wrong for that particular act, he could have ill feelings about a lot of stuff, not just game day, not just game week, but so much more that Deion has been able to do in a short amount of time that a lot of people could never have done.
Rashawn, let me put some perspective on what you just said, and just, you know, maybe this will kind of bring it all together. So the average HBCU football game ticket starts at about $7 to $10. You know, you'll get some up to $25 or whatever, maybe some VIP seatings at $50 top, whatever. So with Deion Sanders, Jackson State games, 30,000 people allegedly was at this game. There was a ticket price at $300 for some of those tickets.
That many black people?
Come on.
$300 for some of those tickets. So let's just do some simple math. Let's just say, okay, a $50 average ticket for this football game, 30,000 people, That's $1.5 million that you just brought to the program in the HBCU.
Yes, it is.
Now,
yes, it is.
Come on, man. That's a low number. That's a low number. So the economic value, what he's bringing to this and the attention is huge. So I get it. That was disrespectful. Okay, the man didn't
so
get the
program.
So
you're saying that. You're finally saying that was disrespectful.
Yeah, I said, okay. Yeah. No, right. That was okay. Disrespectful. But okay. At the end of the day, when I hear Eddie Robinson Jr. speak, I'm hearing more than just – he didn't want to give the dude a bro hug. I'm hearing a little bit of jealousy.
Oh,
I'm hearing a little bit.
That's
of,
what Rashawn said. He's better.
Hey, I'm hearing a little bit of jealousy in his
that's
voice.
That's what we do. That's
you know what I'm saying. That's what
just
I'm,
be real. That's what we do.
This is beyond just a handshake, bro hug. This is wait a minute. How you gonna get this man all this attention? Because look what he's bringing to the HBCU stratosphere.
They're not looking at the money that's coming in, but we all want to be. Everybody want to be the chief. Nobody want to be the Indian.
Bingo.
Yeah. And I think we brought that analogy up a couple of weeks ago. Y'all said I was being racist when I said that, but I wasn't. That is the truth. It's the truth. Everybody wants to be the chief. And that's the way we are as black people. But we should all do one thing that Rodney King said. What did he say?
Let's just all get along.
Let's go get along.
Let's talk about some relationships that ain't getting along, Rock T.
Oh, man. You know, I'm right. This is right there up my alley because y'all already know. Me and my wife talk about on our podcast, a Perfect Pair podcast, you know, we just love black love. So we get upset when we hear another black love story that didn't last. So let's start with singer Miguel and his wife filed for divorce. And the Sure Thing singer, high school sweetheart, saying, listen, man, deuces, I'm out of here. You know, filed for divorce. And they after 3 years of marriage, is this surprise anybody? 3 years?
Did he write that song for her?
Didn't she file like earlier? Like this was like the second go round, and I guess now they're, they're putting some finality on it. But you know, I've been married for 20 years. People change, man. People change, and the hope is that when you change, that you can come back in alignment with one another to be able to continue to go forward. But sometimes the change does not come back into alignment. And I think we take away, and I understand what you're saying, Rock T, like black love, and we got to believe in black love, but also people are human. People are absolutely 100% human. And if it doesn't work out, it simply doesn't work out. Is it bad? Is it awful? Is it like a death from what I heard when it comes to divorce? Absolutely. But you also have to allow yourself grace. And if you don't want to be in a situation, you got to get out of the situation.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there, Rashawn. It's if you've done everything that you possibly could to try to save.
Go ahead, Rob.
No, to try to save the marriage or the relationship, and it's just not working out. I'm not going to sit there and just be miserable just because somebody told me to death do us part. You know what I'm saying? It's like I want to be happy, and I want my mate to be happy. And if I can't bring out the best version of her, then – okay, it's time for us to go our separate ways because I don't want to be the reason that you're misery.
Okay, but that's not the only person we're talking about. We're talking about Tia. Was it Tia Moore and her husband?
No. We'll get to Tia Mowry in a second.
Tia Mowry and her husband,
Miguel, for a minute. I'm the baby in the group in marriage. I've been married about 21 months and a week. I'm still a newlywed. 3 years, you kind of still a newlywed. 20-year people and 15-year people marriages – don't want to hear nothing about nobody that ain't got 10. So to me, at 3 years, y'all ain't trying hard enough. And trust me, my dad been married 5 times. My mother been married 9 times. I know you can move on.
Damn, man.
Happy.
Hold on. Your mama been married 9 times, dog?
9?
Man, Griff, I don't know why you do this. Quit saying that. She going to get mad at you every time.
9. Griff,
bro,
9.
Mad. Bro.
She do.
How many?
Rashawn, she got a new dude, though. 10 is in.
Are they all alive? Griff, tell me.
One died, but not on her watch. You're not going to make my mama the Black Widow. Don't do that.
Hey, no, we
this
love,
ain't the point. First of all, shut up.
But nine
first of
times,
all,
though.
Y'all not listening to my point. In 3 years, you ain't try hard enough. Y'all ain't gonna let me. I forgot to tell y'all that, by the way. My bad.
He said it like it was something.
Yeah, we
know. My daddy been married 5 times. My mama been married 9 times. Like, you bragging.
But you only been married one time, right, Griff?
No, this is my third marriage.
You forgot his ex-wife had a tramp stamp of another dude.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
God.
You forgot about that part. Griff's ex-wife had a tramp stamp of another dude.
But Sean, no, Tony. We ain't got it. We ain't got to beat around the bush.
We ain't going to do that. Sorry. We ain't going to do that.
Well, Sean, hey, we keep it real. We keep it real on I Hate the Homies, man. It is what it is.
See,
Rashawn.
Ain't nothing personal.
Rashawn, 3 years. Did they try, though, for reals, coming from somebody who's been married 20 years? Eric is always telling me, our first 2 years, I was like, he can keep his money. I can keep my money. We can go our own. But 3 years, you got to put more time in it, Rashawn. Come on now.
Hey, but you don't know what they endured in them 3 years, or what she endured, or what they were trying to make work. High school, what's it, man? Listen, but these folks don't know what they're doing out here.
When I got married,
I'm good. I'm good. I'm just saying, like, on one hand, yeah, they probably could have made more of a concerted effort. But then sometimes you might know early. Like, you know what? I ain't even gonna try.
And what would you say, Dave?
I thought, because when I got married and stood in front of the preacher, it's to death or you depart, right?
We still don't know if you're married or not, dog.
I am
still
married.
It's still what,
I've been married 14 years.
We ain't seen your wife, though, dog.
Y'all ain't got to see her. Only I need to see her. It's my wife.
You ain't married,
dog. I'm not trying to prove anything to y'all.
We don't believe, dog. Nah.
You ain't married, dog.
You gonna have to bring her somewhere, dog.
I've been married 14 years, and you got to go through the roller coaster of love and of life. And that's what marriage is. But it's up and down. But what?
Your wife don't have no... Go ahead, Rashawn.
Whenever I talk to newer couples and folks that are, you know, maybe going through a tough time, I was like, the reason why I know that my husband and I have been able to stay together even through those tough times is because I like my husband.
There you go.
Really like him. I like him as a person. So when the love undulates, because it does, up and down, you know, I still like hanging with him. I still like watching football and drinking with him and doing those types of things. Like, we hang out. I like him.
Preach!
We were friends. We truly were friends first. And our friendship has sustained it.
Come on
for
now.
For sure.
We say it all the time, man. My wife and I, we realized how much we really like each other during the pandemic because we was around each other, like, all the time, all day, every day. Yep. And that you said something right there. Let's move on to Kenya Moore. You know, her and her husband are about to get ready to divorce if they haven't already. But she's upset because she didn't sign a prenup with her for Mark Daly, her husband.
I want to hear Rashawn. I want to hear her talk about this.
So the couple shares a 3-year-old daughter following the end of season 14 of Real Housewives of Atlanta. And Kenya Moore said that she suspects her strange husband is after her money and she regrets not signing a prenuptial agreement. So, Rashawn, talk to me.
Well, I mean, everything. I'm assuming that in retrospect, she does have these, these types of feelings because now he is looking to get more detail on her.
Get him some alimony, little man money.
Yeah, so
little man money.
So I think that's what it comes down to. I think that she probably was assuming, hey, you take yours, I take mine. We weren't even married that long, but now when someone contacts your lawyer, his lawyer contacts her lawyer about financial records, then you start having these regrets. I don't know what that type of money is like to have a prenup and all that stuff. Listen, when I first got married in 2002, my baby is still a teacher. He's a teacher. I was just now starting in radio, making like $25,000 a year. We don't need no prenup, friend. We don't need no prenup. It's all good. We good. But when you have a situation like that, maybe, I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about prenups because is it saying that you're going to be doomed? Are you putting it in the universe that, hey,
that's what I believe,
if we don't work out?
Yes.
Like, because the universe here is good and bad. And so if you're putting that in place, then
just in case you start tripping,
you put the negativity out there when you put a prenup out there. It should be,
that's what I say.
It should be the love and trust going into it. And you got to build on it. It ain't going to come overnight. It comes over time.
Right.
That's what I believe. I wouldn't do the prenup.
Nah.
I don't care if I was
you a Real Housewife of Atlanta. I want it all. I need my peach. I need everything.
Yes, sir.
What's the next? What's the next family that ain't getting along, right?
Tia Mowry files for divorce from her husband, Corey Hardrick, man. So 14 years being married.
That's how long I've been married.
That's that number. The magic number is 7. If you can get past 7 years, you all right. You may be past the toughest times. But Tia Mowry said, I'm done. She said, I'm done.
Yeah.
But see,
yeah.
I think, like, listening to your podcast, you and your wife podcast, helps me and my wife. But also watching that show that was on Oprah's network.
You're not married, dog.
I am married. Man. Stop saying that. Calling black.
What's your wife's whole name?
I'm not giving you that so you can go look her up. I'm not giving
Where's
you any
birthday?
Information. Ebony. That's her first name.
What's her social?
Hey, what up, E?
Yeah, see?
Rashawn, you talking to a ghost. But go ahead, Dave. Go ahead. Go ahead, finish.
That's why I hate this
show.
You
gonna reply tomorrow in your dreams, Rashawn. Gonna get haunted. What's up, Rashawn? Hey, Rashawn.
Stop it. Don't do that.
We spent a lot of time watching.
Let my friend keep his wife out of the public.
Thank you. Me and my wife watched that TV show, Black Love. Have you ever seen that?
Right.
Yes.
That, to me, helped, just like your perfect podcast, help build us up even more because you get to hear other people's relationships.
Right.
And you say, you know what? It ain't that bad.
Absolutely.
Over here to hear somebody else what they're going through. So I think that helps us, but I'm just telling you, each and every day it's different. It's a different event. It's like a roller coaster. It's like going to Six Flags and riding the big Judge White Scream and going up and down.
Right.
Eventually, you're going to come to a flat place, but you're just growing. You're growing together. That's it.
But here's the deal.
And we also throw in that these people are famous. Now, when you're just a regular dude and your wife regular, and who knows what y'all little regular wedding going to be. Who knows? But you talk about people that's on Real Housewives, which is an international brand show. You talk about people that's been on TV since they were 6 years old. Like, it's not the same. Right. And then if your partner, and here go the hammer, we can go straight to Tom Brady and Giselle. If your partner ain't really in the same business that you do, Rashawn, am I tripping?
Oh,
that can
honey,
pull away listen. Every year a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, aren't Corey and Tia, weren't they in the same? I think he's an actor as well. Yeah, I know he's an actor as well.
Yeah,
but even
he's a lower actor than his wife. That part.
Right. Well, me and my husband have gone through some times where, my career
what
has
else,
been, as you guys know, as radio folks, like, sometimes you on and sometimes you ain't.
Mm-hmm.
And I transitioned into television, and then now I act and all these things, and I still do all these things combined, but my husband is a teacher. And so at times I have told him, I was like, sometimes I feel like, if I had a normal life, like when we were going through things, when it's like, you're always here, you're there, you're on set, you're doing this, you're always, and that has been kind of contentious, but sometimes when I have my guilt of working, I go back to that place. But then there's also a beautiful balance because I am party, I am in the light. And here I have this beautiful, gorgeous, husband who could damn near be a model, who's a teacher, and I love it. And he is a coach, and he influences young men and young women, through all the schools that he's been through every single day. So that's the beauty of it as well. So while I understand if you both were in the same industry, there probably would be a different level of understanding, but I love the level of understanding that we've been able to grow to because of everything that we've been through. So now it's like, we're at one music fest this weekend. He does his thing. I do my thing. You know what I mean? We meet in the middle, give each other a little kiss, take a shot, keep it moving. Like, we so cool on where we are because.
Yeah, that's grown people style right there. Grown people.
Right. We've been through what we've been through. We were just in Miami for the Orange Blossom Classic when FAMU played, what we talked about earlier, Jackson State. He stayed in Miami. I stayed in Fort Lauderdale. He was with his homeboys. I made it a solo trip. Saw him at the game, gave him a kiss. What's happening? You good? Everybody straight? Boom, kept it moving. That's when you grown, You've grown and you've been able to figure that thing out. And we have figured it out.
But can I
and
also say, answer, y'all can hear.
Hold on, real quick. Let me finish this. Let me wrap it up with a bow. Everybody's, how their relationship works is unique to them. So everybody's trying to give all this advice and all that stuff. I work for me.
Thank you.
Message. She like on a hall.
She done preach. She done preach. But
y'all can also hear. Y'all can also hear that Rashan Ali is a whole tomboy. Stop it. You done went to y'all. Rashan, stop it. Hey, I'm going with my homeboys. Perfect. I'm gonna stay in a whole different city. See you at halftime. Yeah. Kiss, kiss. See you at the house in Atlanta.
Yeah, that many women that's gonna do that, brother. Rashan.
Hey, I can relate because my wife the same way. Say what you want to say. She a straight tomboy, and I love it about her because she can hang with the homies. She does hang with the homies or whatever. So she grew up, most of her friends were guys. So she can relate to how guys think, which I think why what makes us work together. She already know how I'm thinking. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
And there's a theory out there about opposites attract. I don't know if I believe that theory all the time. I mean, I'm really to test
me
that
neither.
Theory because you got to. I feel like you got to have more. You got to be more alike. If you want to have long, sustainable, healthy relationship with each other and that friendship that Rashan was talking about, man, because Crystal, y'all know, that's my dog. That's my homie, my lover, my friend, my doggone, my dog. I mean, that's everything. So, you know, and we gossip. We have pillow talk. Just the same way home, same way, you know, girlfriends had a girlfriend talk. Me, sometimes my wife be mistaken, like, girl, I'm sorry, honey. Let me, you know what I'm saying? But it's just that, it's that bond together that you form.
Yeah.
It ain't just.
But that's also comes in years. So here I am, 21 months and 5 days.
Man, burp yourself,
man. My wife just asked me the other day, why you don't listen to me when I say, and I had to tell her very frankly, because I really don't know you like that. Like, I'm trying to learn you and learn your ways, but we still baby-stepping it. Like, I don't all the way know you, so I'm working on it.
Don't worry,
so excuse me for not doing everything you say, but I kind of just believe in my style a little more until I know you more, and then we can incorporate yours in, too.
Don't worry, you're going for the record. You're going to catch your mama. Don't worry. She had number 9.
Oh, my God!
He going to catch you.
Oh, that no. Man, we can touch
oh
on.
My God.
We ain't even got to talk. Do we even want to go talk about Tom Brady and Giselle?
No,
we ain't even got.
Let's move on. Forget it.
Everybody know what's going on with that.
Talk about black love.
Let's move on to football, man. You got you on that one, dog.
That was real good. That was real good, my man.
Let's talk about the Super Dave's favorite team that he's a whack doggone fan of. Now, how about them Cowboys,
man? How about
man?
Them Cowboys?
They won 4 in a row behind backup quarterback Cooper Rush. So now Jerry Jones got a big decision to make. Is he going to stick with Cooper Rush as they go play the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles? Or is he going to bring his superstar quarterback Dak Prescott back to play in this game? I'll let you guys go around the room first before I give you my thoughts
and
opinions.
Dave.
No, ladies first. Ladies first. No, we'll let her go first. I'll come right behind.
Rashan.
All I'm going to keep it real cool. I'm going to keep it real cool. Last time they won 4 in a row.
Message. Message.
Probably Dak's first year when he took over for Romo.
Right. So the thing is, like, you, as much as I love Dak, and I want Dak to win so bad.
Me too.
Just as a person, I like him. He's lost his mother. His brother committed suicide. He's had horrible injuries, but great endorsements, and people love him, and I want to love him too. But if you ain't winning, friend,
man,
you not winning, you got to get up out of there. And if Buddy is winning, got to go with who is leading your team, and it's a different energy. People respond to different energy. What we are seeing is an energy shift. This is what we are seeing, an energy shift, and they are responding as a team. That's what we're seeing.
Okay. I will say,
short, I agree with everything Rashan said. I had said a couple podcasts ago that if Cooper Rush is undefeated going into this game, I would never switch him. It's the momentum. It's everything. So, agreed. I'm not yanking Cooper Rush, not now, to start somebody who ain't played. And this offense, these linemen is believing in him. These wide receivers is believing in him. And I already know what Dave going to say. Finally, the Cowboys, who I don't know why, got such a big problem with black quarterbacks, but now they feel a Romo-esque energy in the air. Super Dave?
Okay. Because everybody's talking BS right now. You start the guy you're paying $40 million to. If he's ready to play against the Eagles are undefeated right now. The Cowboys are 4-1. I'm putting my best on the field. Cooper Rush has done his job as a backup quarterback. He got you 4 wins this season when nobody thought that could possibly happen after what we've seen with Jason Garrett back in the day. If Jason Garrett was coaching this team and Cooper Rush was still the quarterback, they wouldn't win 4 in a row because I think coaching plays the part in this. Your defense is great. The holding teams under 19 points throughout the first 4 or 5 games of the season. That's the biggest part. Your defense is not losing games for you, but offensively, you're making it real simple for Cooper Rush. We're going to give you a pass here, a pass there, but we're going to do the one thing we should have been doing even when Dak was in the game, and this is where coaching plays a part. You run the damn ball. It's simple. You have Zeke, you have Pollard. You have a two-headed monster back there. Don't put so much pressure. And I know the Cowboys were number one last year as far as offense out there on the field, but don't put too much pressure on Dak. Run the ball. It balances everything out. How do you think Philadelphia's winning right now? They're not asking who. They're not asking Hurt to win a football game. They're saying manage the game. Do what you're supposed to do. Run here and there. Pass here and there. Let our defense keep us close, and we will win the game. And that he has to start against the Eagles. I want my best out there. No doubt about it.
All right, so let me jump on this little situation, man. Normally,
don't jump on Dave, dog. We like him, dog. No fighting.
Quit saying little. Come on, go ahead.
No, it just naturally comes out when I'm addressing you, sir. Normally, the money will trump the quarterback or the position player or whatever. So it's like Dak got the money. He got hurt. Whoever the backup in, if they playing 500 ball, you know, they playing average, but just doing just enough to kind of hold the team together, it's a no-brainer. Bring Dak back in. You're our money guy. Let's go to work. But what trumps money is victories. Wins trumps money. This man has won 4 games in a row.
Man.
He's 5-0 as a starter. And Jerry Jones is probably like, you know what? I'm a billionaire. I may take a little hit this year if I decide to stay with Cooper Rush because we win in ball games. That's a problem that I'll deal with when later. Right now, we winning. And that's all that matters because I know how to make up from whatever money he lose with this Dak Prescott not being on the field. I love Dak. I hate when players lose their position because they got injured when the backup comes in and starts showing out, a.k.a. Tom Brady. But at the end of the day, this is going to be a Nick Foles situation. I believe that Cooper Rush should start. Is he going to start? I don't know. We're going to find out here in a couple days. But I think he should start because the momentum is there, and I think he is who they think he is now. He's the next Nick Foles. He's auditioning, okay? He's winning games, but he's also auditioning. And he's going to audition himself into a big-time multi-million-dollar contract with another team next year.
So you don't think they're keeping it simple for
no Dak's going Dak is still the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
No, but I'm saying
the future.
For Cooper Rush right now. I understand he has 4 wins. I'm not degrading anything he's done so far. You got 4 wins this season, but you don't think they're simplifying what they're doing on the field for him? They really are.
He's doing exactly what you just said.
He's doing
he's
what?
They're balancing the offense.
Yeah, but against teams, Cincinnati ain't the same Cincinnati we saw. Like, don't make me mad. They're not the same team they were last season. No, they're not. Don't do that.
Listen to what you're saying.
I'm a Cowboy fan.
The Rams are not the same team we saw last season that won a championship.
Let me tell you something. I don't give a damn. He just beat the 2 teams that was in the Super Bowl last year.
Neither one of them are the same team they were last season. You know it's different every single season.
Man,
come on. The best team in NFL right now is who?
The Buffalo Bills.
Philadelphia Eagles. Exactly.
Eagles.
I want my best on the field against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Man, you just
and when I look at that,
where's the game at?
Where's
the game at?
It's in Philly, I believe. Look it up. But you just lost your sports card.
I didn't lose nothing because I definitely ain't gonna lose it with you.
Man, come on, man. You play.
You don't make no sense. I texted you yesterday. You don't know football. You don't know football.
What you mean? I don't know
you
football.
You don't know football.
Listen to what you just said. You ain't even making no damn sense.
How? Tell me what I said.
He beat the 2 teams that was in the Super Bowl last year.
Last year,
and
they
you
were
gonna
great.
Sit up there and say it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Last year, you don't know a damn thing about no football.
Last year, they were great. This year they're not.
Just because
look
other,
at the damn record.
Just because the
no
other
football. Team. No football when you watch it. Come on, it's got
get
me
your boy
group.
All right, oh get your boy group.
All right.
He about
oh
to explode. God. He about to
no
pop.
No football.
He
about to blow up.
Let's get off the Cowboys.
Have you hold on, Griff, real fast, and then because I want to hear what we're shining.
These Cowboy fans are so over the top.
They especially this one right here. He don't make no damn sense, man.
Don't you don't make sense. I'm trying to teach you about football.
Let me tell you something, man. There's a such thing as okay, this team keeps beating us. So what are we going to do about it? We got to learn some new strategies on how we can go back. We can't just let this team
change.
We got to change some things about our defense or our offense.
And that's why you have a top-notch
defense. It's called scouting a team. So just because a team may not be as good as they were last year.
They're not. Look at the record. The record shows that they're not good. Dude, Cincinnati is not the same team.
See, here's a kind of raggedy doggone sports commentator you are right now.
Cincinnati is not the same team they
were
last season.
You know, when somebody's making a point, you always want to try to cut them off because you know they're right about something. You know I'm making a point.
No, because you're never right to me.
Of course, because
go
that's
ahead,
finished.
Making your point, bro.
Go ahead and put your dress on and go ahead and finish.
That's called
put
being
your Sunday
baby.
Dress on and finish. Go ahead.
Listen, man, Griff, talk to your boy, man. I ain't gonna waste my time talking to this fool.
Because y'all don't know.
Rashawn, what you got to say about this?
Listen, my dog just is getting on my nerves, so I'm sorry if I screamed just now. I think we should move on to the next subject.
Yeah, he ain't proven nothing.
Ahead, Rashawn,
but I especially brought you on the show to talk about, you know, the swag to talk about. But you did something so cool for ladies in Atlanta that almost 15 years later, people still remember it. You taught women football. You brought in athletes and comedians and actors. Can you talk about the football fumbles for me?
Oh, wow. That's great. That was something that we created back at Hot 107.9 years ago. I just wanted an opportunity, one, to be able to hang out at a cool bar on a Sunday and really bring in ladies who just wanted basic knowledge about football. And at the time, we were, you know, focusing on women and watching the game with your man, you know, very, very, you know, kind of focused on that type of relationship. But women were able to, like, really understand, like, the positions and the scoring and what's the difference between a 3-4 defense and a 4-3 defense and, like, a simple eye formation and, like, who does what. When you were able to break it down in an elementary way, women were like, oh, see how the game goes and have a better understanding of it. And so many women till this day, when I'm out, I'm like, hey, I came to your female fumbles football camp, and I'm telling you, I'm still using that information to this day. So it was always very fun. But to see women really gain a better understanding was always great.
Because you were the little girl from Remember the Titans with your daddy on the field all the time in practices and games and stuff, what is the top two things you think women don't understand about football that maybe we can help them understand today?
The top two things? Man, I think that maybe, you know, just understanding, like, strategy. Like, what is the best thing to do in this scenario? If you are, you know, depending on the positioning of the field and you're 4th and 1, do you go for it or do you go for a field goal? Or depending on how strong, you know, someone's special teams is, do you punt the ball? Like, really understanding situational type of things when it comes to football and knowing, you know, the difference between a punt and a kickoff and an extra point. Like, those simple things. I know it sounds quote-unquote dumb to certain people, but I just think if they just have a better understanding of one, situational, and then just a greater understanding of the basics.
That's
the
good stuff.
Basics about, you know, how many opportunities you get to get to the first down and, you know, those types of things. So I love breaking that down. And then what we would do, we would bring on video games. Griff came on and we did, like, the video game version of it. So we were able to slow the game down by using Madden. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Yes, sir. I love it, man. And see that you got the perfect name for what I call sports chicks on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. When I do my sports, I like to talk to the women. And I like to try to, I don't like to just do, hey, this team beat this team, and this team beat this team, blah, blah, blah. I like to really bring the women into it because it's, man, there's a lot of sports chicks like yourself out there. So kudos to what you do, Rashawn.
Man, Rashawn, thank you for being on the show with my crazy tube, crazy arguing Rock T and Super Dave. But you do your own podcast called Cool Sore Roars, and I had the opportunity to get interviewed by you in the Cotton Bowl the week before the Red River Showdown. It was amazing. Grambling and Prairie View. Talk to us about Cool Sore Roars and how people can follow you and everything that you're doing too.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, so I do have a podcast that I started in 2016, but we recently have switched over, not switched over completely, but I wanted to bring the visual version of it. So we do the video version of the show. And I have a great partnership with Cricket Wireless where I am on tour with a tour at 5 HBCU Classics. So we've done 3 so far. I'm headed to the Florida Classic in Orlando. I'm looking forward to that when FAMU takes on Bethune-Cookman University. And then we'll end everything up here in Atlanta where I'm from at the Celebration Bowl. But really excited about the partnership. And, yes, the premise of the show is for me to interview women and men in Black Greek letter organizations, but anybody who's kind of tied to the HBCU culture. I also do a Cool People segment, which Griff was a part of. I'm a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, so I always wanted to bring all of us, all of the Divine Nine together, specifically sororities, because we have so much more. We're so much more alike than we are different, although, you know, over the years, there's been so much, some chippiness, you know, from you know, historically. Of course, there's going to be some rivalry there, but I have always been a very cool soror. I bring that brand together on my podcast. I also have merchandise. I've got jewelry, all kinds of great things, but I think the brand is continuing to grow. And for more information, you can log on to coolsoror.com. I'm also an actor. I play Miss Candy on All the Queen's Men on BET Plus, Tyler Perry's All the Queen's Men. So we're wrapping up season 3 right now. Really excited about that. So Eva Marcille, who's on who's on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show with Roxy, she's the main character and she's very fierce. And I play her opposite on that show. So just really grateful to Mr. Perry and the opportunity to be able to live out my dreams every single day.
I love it. Man, Rashawn, a.k.a. getting to the bags. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
So, yeah, right.
Thank you for joining the homies, man. And real quick before you go, I got to correct homie number one over here, Griff. The State Fair Classic is Grambling versus Prairie View, and then the Red River Classic was Texas OU.
No, I was saying and you corrected me, but let me correct you. I said you interviewed me in a Cotton Bowl where they just had the Red River Showdown the week before where Prairie View and Grambling played. So I thank you for the correction, kinda.
Didn't I say this earlier? I said this earlier. What did we say about Rodney King? Didn't I just say, can we all just get along?
Oh, you the one that's up. All right, Rashawn. Bye, Rashawn. Thank you. Bye, Rashawn.
Appreciate you so much for having me.
Thank you. Yeah. I know one thing, Rock T. You look at the NFC East, it's tough. Remember last year, everybody was joking about the NFC East?
There you go.
And you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, the Cowboys, the Giants. So I you may not think I know about picking who should be the number one guy right now against the Philadelphia Eagles with the Cowboys and the Eagles next week. But I'm going to tell you this. The one thing I do know, the NFC East is elite right now. It used to be the joke over the last three or four years.
Elite is strong.
4-1 and 5-0.
I'm with you when you're right. You're right about this one right
here. The Giants are 4-1. They beat the Green Bay Packers yesterday. The Cowboys are 4-1.
I'm with you when you're right.
And the Eagles are 5-0. That is elite.
It's the strongest division in NFL football right now.
You got to believe that.
I take it back. Numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man. It is, man. This division is getting real interesting.
And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for all those teams.
And they got to play each other twice.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
That's the fun part. But you look at some of the games yesterday, and we'll go down the list. But you look at Buffalo and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, we knew that was going to happen. Mitch Trubisky couldn't have saved them. Ben Roethlisberger couldn't have saved them from that Buffalo thing they was going to take yesterday.
You know what
so
people
that's
said?
What they get.
You know what people said about Mike Tomlin, about him not having a losing season?
What?
I think that's going to be his first losing season coming this year.
Yeah, yeah.
With a brand new quarterback.
Oh, Rock T said that last episode. Yeah, who doesn't love the boy from Pitt who played in same stadium all of college and now he is a Steeler? Like, who doesn't love him? But the thing is, I don't see the cohesion. And then I not only do I not see the cohesion, but I also don't see that defense that the Steelers always been.
Oh, no, you ain't seen that for the last couple of years. So, I mean, I think in the end, this may be his first losing season. Yeah. Let's get to the Jets and the Dolphins.
How the about Jets the Jets?
Put up 40 points.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
I thought I was dreaming when I saw that.
How about them Jets, man?
I thought I was tripping, too. I put my glasses on that one.
and then Rock T's Dolphins. Yes, I know. You lost to her.
I'm not a Dolphin. That's not my team.
Yeah, but you said they were going to make some noise this year.
When they had Tua, they was making noise.
Don't say
they?
Rock T's Dolphins. That's dirty.
Come on.
Don't do that to him. Hey. That's dirty, dog. That's horrible,
dog. Now, you can say this. You can rephrase it and say, now, what you said about Tua.
Tua and Bridgewater.
He got hurt.
He got hurt, the first
play in the game? That's sad, man.
Oh, my God.
You can't
make this stuff up.
So here's what they should do. Here's what they should do. They should go out and get 39-year-old Ryan Fitzpatrick off the couch and say, come on back.
No, he ain't on the couch. He on Thursday nights.
Amazon. Yeah.
On Amazon Prime.
Okay, get him off that doggone bench and say, come on, put a helmet back on, put these pads back on, because we got to try to save this potential good season we was about to have. I don't think Cam is going to be able to do it. I would go get Ryan Fitzpatrick and say, come on, man. We riding on you. Riding the coattail. Let's go see what we can do.
We'll just look at a couple more games. Watch out for the 49ers. Remember all that talk during the offseason about trading Jimmy G?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take them to the promised land.
Yeah, but that's why Jimmy G is silently going to do what he did the year before.
And the year before that?
Let's not act like he was a bum,
dog. Exactly. That's what they're saying.
That's why I was mad at the point.
Jimmy Cole.
No, that's why I was mad at the franchise. Don't do him. Don't. I mean, they got a real problem with disrespecting their quarterbacks. Alex Smith, Kaepernick. I mean, it goes on, dog. Like, don't do Jimmy G like he was garbage. He wasn't.
No. Jimmy G, the crew. He the truth. He the truth, man. So,
can we talk about the game that's happening? Now, this is what I know for a fact. Yes, Griff, the Raiders come to Kansas City, and they lose all the time. The last time they won, a couple seasons ago, the Raiders drove their bus around the parking lot three. Yeah, we know all that. The town is so disrespectful. They call it the Raider Hate Week. It's red everywhere. Everybody keep telling me I got the wrong stuff on. Why you here? I got this crispy Bo Jackson, the Mitchell and Ness that I'm about to take out the plastic tonight that I'm wearing. And Erica Campbell is singing the national anthem, which puts me
on the sideline.
On the ground.
What?
Of the Chiefs. When I'm on the ground and while Erica Campbell is singing the national anthem and nobody's looking, I'm going to put both my hands on the ground, get on my knees and say, Jesus, burn them to the ground, Jesus.
We're going to be watching. We're going to be looking for the old grizzly wolf.
Jesus don't want to help y'all. And Raiders, please, waste his time. You wasted my time on that long-ass conversation you just had about your team. Who cares?
I'm going to tell you something, man. This is going to be a tough game to pick. Look, I got Kansas City winning this game at home. But this could be a hiccup game for the Chiefs. Now, we know we got to play each other twice. You know, this could be a hiccup game because the Raiders ain't supposed to be this sorry. Like, they supposed, on paper, the Raiders are supposed to be one of the top teams in the league this year. So this could be a scary situation for the Chiefs, but I still got Kansas City winning this game. So let's go to college football real fast
Thank
before we
you.
Wrap
we
up.
We wasted our time. That's 5 minutes of my life I'd never get back spending on the Raiders.
Good,
the Las
you don't
Vegas
need
Raiders.
Minutes. How about that?
How about your Oklahoma Sooners playing against Texas?
They have no quarterback. We can move on. They have no quarterback. We can move on. They look raggedy on defense.
Next.
Yes. Next, move on. You see how I do it? Look, you see how I do that?
All right, so
I just move on.
So you want to talk about Alabama, Texas A&M?
No quarterbacks on either side.
I owe you $5, though, because I told
you. You owe me $5.
I picked but it was scary for them Bama boys.
It was scary for a minute.
Come on,
it
dog.
But if Bryce Young would have played that game, it would have been a different story, and that game would have been over in the first half.
I don't know,
because A&M don't have an offense, man.
I'm giving Dave his $5
Thank you.
as we speak right there.
They don't have an offense, but guess what? Alabama, Tennessee next week.
Tennessee going to win. Tennessee, it may not even be a close game.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Tennessee for real.
Wait a minute.
with that backup quarterback,
Tennessee,
the Alabama
for
guy.
Reals, dog.
I'm not saying I like Josh. I like Josh Heupel as far as the head coach. I think they'll be fine.
The Alabama backup quarterback, I like him, but he played too.
Bryce Young will play against Tennessee.
Okay, if Bryce is playing, and let me recap. I still think Tennessee will get him, but it'll be a closer game.
Okay, I got Alabama.
If the backup play with Alabama, oh, it's going
to
be a blowout.
I got Alabama in that game. I think the big one that—
First of all, they going to Knoxville. What you don't want to do is to go into that burnt orange checkered stadium. It's the second biggest third. I think it's Michigan, Penn State, then Tennessee. It's one of the biggest stadiums in the country, dog. And they haven't been this high in the rankings for a minute. So this game going to be.
Okay. Don't start believing that hype. I like Tennessee, but they're not beating Alabama. So that is the big game, wow. I think. But I think the bigger game, even for you guys, since now you're a Michigan fan, Michigan is Penn State. Next week.
Michigan going to win that game.
I got Penn State.
Well, so here's my Penn. So Penn State is tricky, and you know this as a Michigan fan too, Rob. They could be number two, number three, lose to Ohio State and Michigan State, but then beat us every time.
Right.
Like that's not – I'm not very happy about playing Michigan or Penn State, and especially – the way we just had Indiana 10-10 at the half. That's why we fell to number five. That's why we not number four no more. You struggle with Indiana until you got yelled at the half. Then you came up. But I don't want us to do that against Penn State. They only lost one game, but they still Penn State. I don't like it.
I think it is time for us to start paying attention to TCU. Them Horned Frogs.
That's a scary team,
look,
man.
Very, oh my good, God. Dog. They look very good, dog. Boy. And I don't want to hear it's the competition. It's the conference that they're in, man. TCU, some grown men out there in Funky Town, Fort Worth.
But you know what?
Even Desmond Howard was like, we in Kansas, College Game Day broadcast from Kansas. It was a big deal. First time they ever came from Kansas. Desmond Howard had picked Kansas, and then he said, man, TCU just walked past me, and this quarterback is huge.
Yeah.
He's tall. He's big.
That's a thick white guy.
I'm going with TCU. I didn't know he was that big.
I wonder if I can say that.
I just did. Hey, say what you want to say. TCU, they going to be in the conversation. Right. I'm just putting it out there.
Right, but that's why I love college football, because I think in the end, before the BCS standings comes out, or in a few weeks, the bottom line is everybody's going to play each other. TCU faces Oklahoma State this week. So I think in the end, we'll know who are the best teams in college football.
It's going to be a good matchup right there.
Did y'all see that UCLA Utah game? UCLA dumped on them boys. Yeah. And guess what? UCLA and USC are going to have to play each other.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. All of it will take care of itself. I'm not going to worry about anything. All I know is my team is out of it, which is Oklahoma. So my other team, Alabama, is still in it. Yes, I have two teams, and I can't have two teams. Don't judge me.
You might even say nothing.
Because you're a woman.
a little old woman.
Lady. Hey, little lady.
But I can be like your mama and have 9 or 10 guys. I'm married.
That was dirty.
Huh? I'm going to be a woman. I can marry about 9 or 10 guys, right? We're going there.
You can talk about anything, but not your mama.
Your mama.
There it is, man.
That was fun.
That's I Hate the Homies. We wrapping up for the week, man. I am Rock Teezy for Sheezy. Make sure you guys always download, subscribe, and click the bell next to the button. Follow us on YouTube. Follow our social media platforms at I Hate the Homies. Rock T is who I be.
It's your boy, Griff, the number one homie. You stay off my mind. You could have been a stepfather of mine, dog. You'd have been her first. You could have been my daddy, boy. And I hate the homies.
You sure you're the number one homie? Because it could have been about 9, 10, 11, 12.
There's a bunch of other grips exactly. That you ain't met yet.
And this is Super Dave. But guess what?
We don't care.
We don't care.
Deuces.
I hate the homies.
I Hate the Homies is an Urban One Incorporated Reach Media production hosted by me, Griff, Rock T and Stupid Super Dave. Follow I Hate the Homies at I Hate the Homies on all social media. Executive produced by your boy Arlen Griff Griffin. That would be moi. Supervisory producer Kobe Cope. Tyner with them 5-0 Eagles. We see you, homie. Sales and corporate partnerships, Josh Romani, Kadisha Campbell, and Pamela Summers. Digital marketing, J.R. Davis and Tim Hall. Thank y'all for listening to I Hate the Homies. And please tell a friend to tell a friend.